You are listening to a podcast from Calvary Church in Delran, New Jersey. Our mission and hope is to help people follow Jesus and experience the true life that is found only in Christ Jesus. Enjoy this podcast today. So what we're doing today, let me explain what we're doing today. We're changing things up just a little bit, just a tad, and we're going to use some Super Bowl commercials and the movie Friday Night Lights, some clips from there, to kind of redeem it and bring the gospel message and talk about the dream that you're living. Are you living out God's dream for your life? Go ahead and watch this first clip this morning.
Such a feeling's coming over me. Wondering most everything I see. Not a cloud in the sky, got the sun in my eyes, and I won't be surprised if it's a dream. I'm on the top of the world.
This is the end, beautiful friend. This is the end, my only friend, the end of our elaborate plans.
You know, sometimes life is just like that. It's rough, right? You think you make a decision and you end up, you were in the wrong place that you were not supposed to be. Today we're talking about fighting through life and getting to the goal. And I thought that was nice inspiration for all of us with that Rocky music to keep fighting and to keep pressing towards the mark of which Jesus is calling you. You know, God has big dreams for your life. Amen. So quiet. You know, God has big dreams for this church. You know, God has big dreams for your family, that your best is really yet to come. But I've been wondering so much of this lately is just, are you really living out the dream for which God has called for your life? In fact, one of the questions that I really commonly get asked as one of the pastors here for the last 5 years, and it hasn't just been by students or young adults, it's been people in the middle of a midlife crisis or people getting older, they'll say, Pastor Dan, what is God's will for my life? I want to know what God's will is for my life. Well, 1 Thessalonians 4:3 tells us what God's will for our life is. It says this, God's will for your life is to be holy. God's will for your life is to be holy. I noticed in that text, it does not say an accountant, nor a missionary overseas. God's will more than anything for your life is to be holy. In fact, that word holy is translated as a Greek word in the original Greek, and it's the word agios. It means to be set apart. It means to be different. Meaning this, if you're a Jesus follower, you're not to look like this world. You're not to be driven by the values of this world. You're not to let what culture and society says what's in be the deeming reality for how you live your life. And see, what's interesting, as you look at the life of Jesus, he doesn't talk a lot about careers. He talks a lot about calling, though. Who you called to be. See, God is far more interested in who you become than what you do. And God is far more interested in why you do what you do instead of what you are just simply doing. And if we will all work at this art of becoming more like Jesus, I promise you, you and I will end up in the direction that God has called us for our life. Amen. Amen. There's an epic old movie that came out back in 1988. It's the true story of a few months in the life of a high school football team from Odessa, Texas. It's an oil town, and they're home to the Permian High School Panthers. You see, football was king in that town, and in this small oil town, as many as 20,000 people would show up and pack the stands on a Friday night to watch this football team. They would watch Coach Gary Gaines and his boys make a run year after year at the state championship game. This epic true story, if you've never seen it, is called Friday Night Lights. So here's my question to you, and what I've just asked you about God's will for your life and telling you that God's will for your life is to be holy is this: how are you doing at finding your own Friday Night Lights? By that, I mean the cause or the game or the purpose that you really want to leave it all out on the field to build the kingdom of God. And I have some clips throughout this message from that movie, as well as one more Super Bowl clip that I think will kind of all tie together to help you discover your purpose, your Friday Night Lights. You see, all of us have a story in life. And there's been good things that have happened, and there's also been bad things that have happened that have helped shape the story of our lives. I mean, now there's been moments of your life that you look back on, and you can see that moment really has shaped you into who you are today. And there's also some negative moments that have probably molded you into who you are today. And the truth of the matter is this: you better figure out what you're going to do with your story, because your story will either make you bitter or better, but it will not leave you the same. Your story will either make you bitter or better, but it will not leave you the same. And in that movie, Friday Night Lights, there's a character by the name of Don Billingsley. And Don Billingsley has a story. The story of his life is this: what happens off the fields with his father and the relationship he has with his father has direct ramifications to the way he plays on the field. You see, Don Billingsley loved playing football as a fullback for the Permian Panthers, but even more, who loves that he plays football and is trying to live his dream through his son is his father. See, his father's crowning achievement is that he won a state championship game with the Permian Panthers. And now, 20 plus years later, he's trying to realize that dream again through his son. And see, the impact that Don's father has off the field has great ramifications to the story of Don's life and how he plays the game on the field. Let's watch this clip here.
Your dad played at Permian. What's it like to be the son of a local legend?
Next question.
There it goes!
How are your grades, baby?
I get straight A's. I'm an athlete.
In what subject?
Hey, there's only one subject. It's football. Ain't no other subject. You know?
Hut!
You sure he's part of your gene pool, Charlie?
Alert, everybody.
What about the expectations of coaching a team like this in a community like this?
Well, I guess there's always a surprise or two in every community.
Ball, just concentrate on hanging on the ball. Both hands, okay?
Hey.
Both hands,
Johnny.
That's all.
Hey,
come here.
What's the problem?
Get off the field, Dad.
Why can't you hold on to football? I'm hard about holding on to it.
I'm sorry.
All you got to do is hold on to the ball, and you can't do it. Tell me why you can't do it. Just tell me. That's all I want to know.
I'll try better next time. Come on.
Hey. Don't you walk away from me when I'm talking to you. You hear me? Tell me why you can't hold on to the ball.
Enough.
Come on.
Mr. Billy,
answer a question.
It's first day of practice, Mr. Billy.
Hold on.
Seriously.
Mr. Billy.
Enough. Charlie.
Okay.
Embarrassing me out here.
Okay.
All right. That's all right. Don't worry about it. Here we go. Yeah. Slot right.
Hey, Billy Lee, you ain't got to worry about holding on to the ball, man.
Why is that?
Because you ain't going to get the ball.
We all have slices of our journey that make up our story that have direct ramifications to how we live out the calling and the plan that God has marked for us. And I'll just say it again. You better figure out what you're going to do with your story, because it will either make you bitter or better, but it will not leave you the same. King David in the Bible had a story. And much like the football teams that are going to play tonight, the St. Louis Rams and the New England Patriots, he also had a team of men, a starting lineup, if you will. His starting lineup was not called first string, but they were called David's mighty men. And they're referred to in the Old Testament. And I did some tracing that kind of made up, finding out what made up these men and how did they get selected by David. And these men were skilled soldiers. They were skilled warriors. That out of thousands of soldiers, David selected the 30 best men who would defend the honor of their king and protect them in battle. I'm going to be focusing mostly today through the passage on 2 Samuel 23. You can open up your Bibles if you'd like to. We're going to also throw it on the screen so you can read along and follow along with us. 2 Samuel 23, verses 15 through 17 and 20. It says this: King David once remarked longingly to his men, "Oh, how I would love some of that good water from the well by the gate in Bethlehem. So the three closest of his mighty men broke through the enemy's Philistine lines, drew some water from the well by the gate in Bethlehem, and he brought it back to David. But David refused to drink it. Instead, he poured it out as an offering to the Lord. Here's what he says. "The Lord forbid that I should drink this," David exclaimed. "This water is as precious as the blood of these men who risked their lives to bring it for me." So David did not drink it. Verse 20 says this. "There also was a mighty man named Benaniah. Benaniah was a valiant warrior. He did many heroic deeds, which included killing two champions of Moab. Another time, on a snowy day, Benaiah chased a lion down into a pit and killed it." So here's my question for you today, church. How do you find your Friday night lights? How do you find your cause to leave it all out on the field so that you know one day that when you die, your life is worth something, your life has had value, it doesn't just evaporate and you're just forgotten the second that you die? I want to give you two simple thoughts on this. The first thought is this: have the courage to not just talk sacrifice, but to live sacrifice as well. If you're going to be a real follower of Jesus in this world and this culture today, you got to have the courage to not just talk the talk, but to live real sacrifice as well. So you need to understand this: sacrifice that costs us very little will often accomplish very little, right? A sacrifice that costs you and I nothing isn't going to have any ramifications of effect for us in our church or in our communities or in our family. See, any good football team understands these principles, right? The teams that are in the Super Bowl understand this reality, right? Because during the offseason and during the season, I bet there were days for extra practices. And I bet there were days for extra workouts at the gym. And I bet there were days for extra team meetings and extra video watch. Each person sacrificing, pulling together so that the team could be the best that they could be. And that's where they are today. See, if you are a part of any good team, you'll realize this: sacrifice is required. Sacrifice is required. Special welcome to all of our first-time guests this morning. I really hope that you feel welcome. I hope that this is a place where you enjoy the food and can enjoy some of the commercials today and can really encounter God in a real way. But I want to speak to anybody who's been attending this church for more than 6 months. Listen, if you're coming to this church just for your enjoyment, you're at the wrong church. Amen? Amen? You don't come to church for what you get. You don't come to church just because Pastor Paul's messages are the most inspiring message and you're just forever, for the rest of your life, going to sit and hear a message every Sunday. You come because you want to grow and be made into the image of Christ. And if you want to be made in the image of Christ, you're going to have to sacrifice along the way. You're going to have to lay down some pride. You're going to have to lay down some sin. You're going to have to step up and get real with community. You're going to have to be a part of a team, right? Because if you want to be a true follower of Christ, sacrifice will be required along the journey. See, we know this. Scripture says this. It says, whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But anyone who really wants to lose their life for my sake will save it. Listen, you can fill your bank account up with all of the money and plan for retirement. You can get the nicest clothes and the nicest houses and all of the unlimited vacations. And you can make your life safe here on this earth. And you know what? In a moment, you could lose it all. But the Bible says if anybody is willing to lose their life for the kingdom of God, you'll discover true life. You'll discover true purpose in Christ. And so, see, David apparently is in battle, and he must have just said something in passing by. He didn't really mean it, you know. He just said, "Gosh, I would love a glass of water. I'm so tired. I'm really thirsty. There's this fresh well over enemy lines where the Philistines are. Gosh, I would really love a glass. It's the freshest water in town," right? It's kind of like this. It's like, you know, you're driving one day and you got a meeting, but you're coming from Cherry Hill and you pass the Cherry Hill Mall and you're like, see Grand Lux, and you're like, "Gosh, I would love to stop for Grand Lux right now," right? Yeah, I love that restaurant. So, but you just like drive past it and you're like, "Oh, I would love to," but you're not actually going to stop, right? And David just mentions it, yet his men, three of his closest men, his armor bearers, his boys, had his back, hear what David says, and during the night, they sneak behind enemy lines to capture this water, to grab this water, risking their lives so they could bring it to the king. They sneak out and they put their own lives in hand. Gosh, what a picture of sacrifice. And David is so overwhelmed by the willingness for them to risk their lives to sacrifice. By the way, that's often how faith is spelled in our lives. R-I-S-K. What's the risk that you're going to take to follow Jesus? And so they bring it back to him. And listen, he is so overwhelmed. He is so moved by the sacrifice that he's like, guys, I can't drink this. The only person who is worthy of this sacrifice is the Lord. Let's pour it out as a sacrifice before the Lord. I love the idea of another verse that David gives in sacrifice in 1 Chronicles 21, 23 through 25, where he says these words, I will not offer to the Lord that for which cost me nothing. I will not offer to the Lord that for which cost me nothing. And hear me this morning. I want to kind of drop back to that point of you don't come to church just for your entertainment. You don't come to church just for your wants. Listen, I know many of us here are comfortable, you know, sitting here and coming a couple times a month. And you're like, I'm just comfortable in my walk. You know, I don't want to be pushed to a next step. I don't want to be pushed to community. Then I have to be real with my feelings and people, right? I don't want to be pushed to a team. Then I got to serve extra and sacrifice after. Listen, if the devil can't get you to sin, he'll just get you to settle with your life. And I believe this today in this church. There are many people today who need to step up. You got to get off the seats and you got to really start playing the game of life. But listen, I promise you this, sacrifice will be required. You better count the cost before you get in it, because if you don't realize the cost, you'll probably stop short of what God is fully calling you to do. See, I think the problem is for many of us Christians, and if you're not a Christian today, listen, we're going to give you an opportunity to respond to the Lord at the end. But if you are a Christian today, we presuppose that this faith in Christ is just supposed to be a cakewalk. When Scripture promises us this, in this world you will have trials and troubles, so take heart. And just that's just not the reality for how it went for David, that's not how it goes for me, and that's not how it goes for you. But I wholeheartedly believe this today. If you want to be a successful Christian today, you really can be. If you want to be a Christian who lays it all out on the field, you can be. I believe this reality because of this. Success begins the day we become willing to pay the price. Success is never owned. It is always rented. And rent is due every single day. I'm going to say that again. Success begins the day you and I become willing to pay the price. It is never owned. It is always rented. And rent is due every single day. How do you get your own Friday night lights in life? How do you show up on the field, the game of life, and ensure that your life counts? You got to have the courage to not just talk the talk, but to live sacrifice as well. And so as we continue to look at the story of David and his men and another Super Bowl commercial and a couple more clips from this movie, let me give you the second point first. The second point is this. How do you live out your life with purpose? How do you ensure that your life fully has meaning? Number two is this. You need to go and chase your lion. You need to go and chase your lion. Some of you are saying, what the heck are you talking about, Pastor Dan? I will explain that to you after you watch this next Super Bowl commercial.
Day-o, day-o.
Wake up early.
Slap on some cologne.
Your dad played it for me. What's it like?
Day-o, day-o.
Wake up early.
Slap on some cologne.
I'm 85 and I want to go home.
Working tech support on the next new phone.
I'm 85 and I want to go home.
So day, me say day, me say day, me say day.
I want to go home.
Day, me say day, me say day, me say day,
oh. I want to go home.
Just got a job as a lifeguard in Savannah.
I'm 85 and I want to go home.
I'm dropping 6 beats, they call me DJ Nana.
Get E-Trade, kiddo.
How many of you just love Super Bowl commercials? Aren't they the best, right? They're the best. Some of you are saying, what does that have anything to do with your message? I'm going to explain it all in a few moments. Let's go back to point number two. Go chase your own lion. How do you find your own Friday night lights? You go and chase your own lion. I want to read that passage of scripture again from 2 Samuel 23:20 in the New Living Translation. It says this: "There was also a mighty man named Benaniah. Benaniah was a valiant warrior. He did many heroic deeds, which included killing two champions of Moab. Another time, on a snowy day, he chased a lion down into a pit and killed it." Who does that, right? Like, who chases a lion? Like, last time I checked, no lion is ever going to run after me, no matter how scary I seem, right? You just picture it, I'm like, run away, little lion. And it just, like, runs after me. Interesting bit of trivia, which I figured you all may want to know. A full-sized adult lion can weigh up to 500 pounds. It's a lot of weight, right? I do not want that thing running after me. Yet the text says this. This is one of David's starting men. This is one of his inner circle. This is one of his guys in the army. Benaiah chased this lion down into a pit and killed it. Some of you are saying, what does that mean and what does that have to do with the message that we're talking about? I'm going to say that that 500-pound lion is a metaphor and represents the God-sized dream you need to chase down for your life. Your God-sized dream for your life. So I'm going to continue saying this through the rest of the message. What is the 500-pound lion you want your life to chase? What is the 500-pound lion you're going to attach time and money and resources and investment to so that you can leave it all out on the field for the kingdom of God? Let me tell you about another character in the movie Friday Night Lights. This person's name was Booby Miles. Now, I must just say this. That guy's mother should have been put in prison for naming the kid that name, right? But he played football tough enough to live with that name. Anyway, this guy is the undisputed all-star of the team. And all of the colleges and all of the universities were recruiting him early in his senior season. And the true story of the movie is this. He badly tears his ACL early in the season, about three games in. He's done for the season. His future is undetermined. And his true story echoes another important truth, that it's really dangerous to make your 500-pound lion something that just imitates the world's superficial value system. It's really, really, really dangerous. Hear me this morning. To make your God-sized dream for your life something that just imitates the world's superficial value system. Because if all you do is adapt your dreams to society's shallow values, having enough money for retirement, getting a bigger house, getting some sort of celebrity status or recognition, one unexpected blow can take that dream right from you and leave you in despair. See, I'm reminded of that verse in Matthew 16:26 where it says this: "What good would it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul?" What good would it be to have all of the money? What good would it be to have all of the notoriety? What good would it be to finally become the boss? What good would it be for that person to finally like you and accept you? What good would it be to have it all yet lose your soul? See, David Platt says this in his book, Radical: "We are settling for a Christianity that revolves around catering to ourselves and our wants and our dreams, when the central message of Christianity is actually about abandoning yourself for the cause of Christ." Maybe your biggest dream in life is just a relationship. Maybe your biggest dream in life is a certain career and is to be a manager and is, like at that commercial, to not be working at 85 and have retirement money saved up. And listen, none of those things are wrong. It's not wrong when you have stuff. It's wrong when stuff has you. It's wrong when that becomes your sole dream and ambition in life. I'm just saying, if that is the sole source of your purpose and the main dream that you're running after, it's shallow and it's hollow, and beware. Because one moment you could lose it all. Just remember, when you're chasing your 500-pound lion, make sure it's based on something that will last for eternity. Some of you are here today and you're saying, "I'm not a Christian. This is my first Sunday in church. I want to know what God's dream is for my life. I want to know how to have an eternal dream. I want to be a lion chaser." It starts by first coming into relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Listen, until Jesus is all that you have, you'll never realize that Jesus is all that you need. Let all of the material wants be stripped away from your life and cling to the Savior, the Son of God. Surrender your life to Him. And when you do, you'll find purpose and fulfillment beyond any comparison of this world. Turn your eyes to Jesus. Look forth in His glory. Let the things of this world just slip away. Others of you are here today and you know the God-sized dream. You know the dream that God is calling you to chase with your life, where to attach your purpose and meaning to for his kingdom. But you're like, I just can't do this in that season, Pastor Dan. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough time. My kids take up too much of my energy. Listen, God wants you to get where God wants you to go more than you want to get where God wants you to go. You just have to be willing to yield yourself to his calling. Others of you may be here today and you're just saying, well, that's just religious talk. It's easy for you. It's Super Bowl Sunday. You just want to get up here and preach and motivate us with a game day talk. Listen, I just want to remind all of us of this reality this morning, that one day we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And we will be determined as to whether we're going to heaven or not. But after that, there is another judgment based on what we did on earth that has ramifications for the kingdom. And I don't know about you, I want to stand before the Lord one day and I want him to hear him say of my life, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen. But it all has ramifications to do with the God-sized dream you chased with your life to leave it all out on the field for his kingdom. His kingdom. And there's this section of this movie, Friday Night Lights, where after Booby Miles is injured, he goes to the doctor a bunch of weeks later to see if there's any way that he can play the rest of the season and what his future looks like. And he goes to his doctor and they read the MRI results. And the doctor says, you won't be able to play again. Your future is possibly in jeopardy. And he's so upset. He goes out to the car with his uncle and he just breaks down in the car, just sobbing in the scene of this movie. He said, what am I going to do now? Football was my life. We were going to the pros. We had all of the plans made. We had it all figured out. I'm not good at school. I'm not good at any skills. I have nothing but football. And that reality to me, paradigms to the word of God, this truth of how despairing and how discouraging it would be if we put our dreams and our hopes in anything besides the kingdom of God. We could be heading to that same reality. So my thought for you today is this: whatever your dreams, your 500-pound lion in life, is it anchored in a value system that will last and will stand the test of time? Will it last? Will it stand the test of time? A.W. Tozer says this: it's not what you do that makes your vocation sacred, it's why you do it. It's not what you do that makes your vocation sacred, it's why you do it. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, Pastor Dan, I get what you're saying throughout this message. I need to sell all of my stuff, I need to let go of my house, and to move overseas and be a missionary. Then I'll finally be fulfilling God's dream for my life. No, that's not at all what I'm saying through today's message. That's not what I'm saying unless that's specifically what God's calling you to do. I'm saying right where you are and right where you're doing, make it your mission to love God and to get this dream of God in your heart and to go and love people with that overflow and chase that dream no matter what. Listen, there's a whole bunch of people in ministry today who are pastors who are not doing anything sacred with their lives. You don't have to get into ministry to be living out a God-sized dream. Get alone with God. Find out what that dream is. Get filled with his Holy Spirit and use his divine potential within you to make a difference in a lost and dying world. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. So let me ask you today, Christian or non-Christian, follower or non-follower, what's God's dream for you? What's his individualized, perfect dream for you? I don't know what it is for you. I kind of want to spell it out for a couple people today to make it clear, because I think there may be some uncertainty on what a God-sized dream can really look like. I mean it simply as simple as this, and it's between you and the Lord. I'm just giving you some examples. Maybe for you, it's making a difference in your life so that it impacts other people. Maybe for you, you're going to break some negative patterns of dysfunctional marriages that have happened in your past family. Right? For generations, there's been divorce, there's been single parents, there's been abuse, there's been neglect, there's been things. And you determine, no, in my marriage, when I'm married now, we're going to be different. We're going to have a Christ-centered marriage. We're going to pray together. We're going to come to church together. We're going to raise our kids in the Lord. As Joshua says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We're going to get passionate about groups and get involved in a small group and start mentoring young married couples. Why? Because that's a God-sized dream that he laid on your heart for a healthy marriage that's going to shape not only your life, but others. Amen? Amen? And maybe you're here today and you say, I have a God-sized dream for my workplace. I want whatever vocation that I do, doctor, school teacher, stay-at-home mom, that when the chips of life are falling apart and it's not easy to be a Christian, I will remain faithful in my office with character and unwavering integrity. Even when others are going against and even mocking me for my faith, I will stay faithful to the word of God. As Psalm 101 says, I will be careful to live a blameless life. I will lead a life of integrity. What's God's dream for your life? What's the dream for your life? I just know this reality this morning, and I know maybe not everybody's with me, but I feel like a couple are with me this morning. And maybe you're here with me this morning and your heartbeat is just the same as mine. You want to do something with every fiber of your being that's going to have ramifications for eternity. You want to make a difference in other people's lives. You want to be wrung out for the kingdom to see God's vision fulfilled through you. See, I don't know where you are this morning, and I don't know maybe everyone's story. But if your idea of Christianity is just coming to church a couple times a month, enjoying the free food when it's here, you know, giving in the offering once in a while, and serving on trunk or treat or a big church event, listen, I'm not the determiner of whether or not you go to heaven. That's not my call. I'm just saying this reality. Hell will never hate you or be afraid of the life you're living. And I don't know about you, but I'm looking at the church of what I believe is a bunch of lion chasers who say, no, we want hell to be afraid of us. We believe that we're going to be kingdom builders together. We believe that we're going to build bigger people, not bigger building. And we're going to disciple here until all of Delran and all of Cinnaminson and all of Morristown, that no one is without Jesus. That's what I believe is here amongst us today. You can leave it all out on the field for Christ when you discover God's dream for your life. When you discover God's dream for your life, how do you conquer your 500-pound lion? You run right after it, not allowing your insecurities to keep you from running away from it. See, what sets lion chasers apart isn't the outcome. It's the courage to chase God-sized dreams. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, well, that's easy for you to preach. You know, you're the pastor. You don't have insecurities and fears. Do I have insecurities and fears? Absolutely. Be honest with you. Every time I get up here and preach on a Sunday, Pastor Paul gives me the privilege to do it. I'm like, Lord, help me, right? I know my flaws. I know my weaknesses. I know my insecurities. I know my wrongs. But you can't allow your insecurities and fears to stand in the way of fulfilling God's vision for your life. See, as I look back at my own life, I recognize this simple truth. The greatest opportunities are always the scariest lions. And part of me has always wanted to play it safe. But I've learned that taking no risk is the greatest risk of all. Taking no risk is the greatest risk of all. So 2 Samuel 23, Benaiah runs after this lion. And a lot of times in life, you have to run after things that are scary. Dreams that are God dreams, people that need to be reached, character that needs to be refined. See, some of God's biggest opportunities are often disguised as some of life's biggest challenges. Yet many of us forfeit our most massive dreams on the altar of our most controlling fears. On the altar of our most controlling fears. So let me close with one last clip today. Let me show you another clip from that movie, Friday Night Lights. The Permian Panther football team is headed towards their 500-pound lion. And somehow, even without their star player, the team begins to turn it around. They barely make it into the playoffs, and then once they make it in the playoffs, they get on a run. And they make it to the state championship game. And the 1988 state championship football game is held in none other than the Astrodome. And as life often allows it, they're playing against guys that are way bigger, way stronger, way faster, way better than them. And what I did in this clip is I included the coach's halftime speech about being perfect. You know why I'm so enamored by this speech? Because I think it sounds a lot like what Jesus is saying to all of us down here on earth. Life, just leave it all on the field. Give me your very best shot. And if you do that, in my eyes, you will be perfect. In fact, that word perfect is verbiage that the coach has used all season long. But now he finally, for the first time, explains what he means by that use of that word perfect. And here's what he means. He says this, perfect does not mean you will not make a mistake on this team. And perfect does not mean you will not miss a tackle. Perfect means you left it all out on the field and did the best that you could. And see, that word perfect is interesting that he uses it there. Because Jesus uses some of the same language in Matthew 5:48 when he says these words, "You are to be perfect just as your heavenly Father is perfect." I did some tracing on that word in Greek, and perfect, as Jesus was using it there, did not mean sinless, flawless, spotless. What Jesus was actually meaning there in the original Greek was mature in love. Mature in love. Let's watch this last clip together, and then I'll explain more.
Time has run out in the first half, and Coach Gary Gaines and his Mojo Cats trail Carter by 26-7.
It's real simple. You got two more quarters and that's it. Now most of you have been playing this game for 10 years. And you got two more quarters, and after that most of you will never play this game again as long as you live. Now you all have known me for a while, and for a long time now you've been hearing me talk about being perfect. Well, I want you to understand something. To me, being perfect is not about that scoreboard out there. It's not about winning. It's about you and your relationship to yourself and your family and your friends. Being perfect is about being able to look your friends in the eye and know that you didn't let them down because you told them the truth. And that truth is that you did everything that you could. There wasn't one more thing that you could have done. Can you live in that moment as best you can with clear eyes and love in your heart? With joy in your heart. If you can do that, gentlemen, then you're perfect.
Most of you have been playing football for a long time. All season long, I've been asking you to be perfect, but being perfect isn't about winning. It's about looking yourself in the mirror and knowing truthfully there was not one more thing you could have done. Not one more thing you could have done to leave your best on the field. And if you do that, in my eyes, you will be perfect. Matthew 5:48, you are to be perfect just as your heavenly Father is perfect. You are constantly to be maturing in this grace of loving God and loving others as you fulfill God's mission and dream for your life. Will you always get it right? Absolutely not. Will you miss the mark? Plenty of times. I do all the time. But I know this life of chasing after the dream that God has marked is the most fulfilling and it's the most rewarding. And listen, as the writer of James says, this life is but a vapor here on this earth and eternity is forever. It's the only thing that lasts beyond this life. What can we take to heaven with us? Our lives, our souls, and the people of others that we impacted through the dream that God gave us in our hearts, right? Not our success at the workplace, not the amount of money that we made, not the amount of houses that we have, right? What we do on this life echoes into eternity. I'll close with this last haunting question. How many, by a show of hands today, know the names of your great-great-grandparents? Anyone today? There was a couple in some of the previous service. About the same here. And what most people will say is that most people actually don't know the names of their great-great-grandparents. I don't know. I mean, I don't know who won the Super Bowl 4 years ago, you know? But it just illustrates this reality that we're living about two generations away from relational extinction. Nobody will remember your name. Nobody will remember the house that you owned. Nobody will remember the amount of money that you had in your bank account. Nobody will remember how many people knew you unless you and I get serious about chasing that 500-pound lion that will ripple into eternity. Some of you are saying, that's a lot to follow Jesus. Like, that's a big sacrifice. That's a big cost to attach myself this life of just loving God with all of my heart, soul, and mind and strength. And from that overflow, as imperfectly executed as it will be, love people and serve them and care for them and make my dream about serving them and making them better than myself so that they may know Christ. That's a lot, right? That's a big ask to be a Christian, right? But the reality is God won't ask us to do anything that he first hasn't modeled himself. See, what I see in scripture is that we sinned, mankind sinned in the Garden of Eden. And when we sinned, our relationship was severed between the Lord. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And God could have left us here stranded on earth and said, fend with yourselves and deal with yourselves, and you have to take care of the mess that you created. But you know what? His dream became us. His dream became to restore humanity. You know what the cost was? His son's life. He sends his son as the propitiation of our sin. Jesus comes to earth, and for 33 years, he lives a sinless, spotless, flawless life. Why did Jesus came? His mission was simple, to seek and to save the lost. He had a God-sized dream for his life. It was you and me. See, scripture says this, that we are the pearl of great price. And when Jesus saw you, he was saying, I will sell it all because you're worth that value to me. While we were still enemies of God, you were his dream. Why does that matter? Because he was the perfect sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sins. He died in our place. He rose from the dead on the third day. He defeated death. He defeated hell. He defeated the grave. Now anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, anyone, if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's what Romans says. You will be saved. God made his dream, you and me. And what he's asking you and me to do today is get alone with him and spend time with him and cultivate his dream and vision for our lives so that we can take his love and we can take his heart and we can take his character into a lost and dying world. Look around you, right? There's so much potential, as Pastor Paul said. Look at all these empty seats. I'm convinced of this reality. Jesus didn't die for us to minister to empty seats on a Sunday morning. Jesus didn't die for this church to be, you know what he died for? That this whole community would come to know him. Who's the key? You and I. Getting alone with God, discovering his dream for us, and then going out on the game of life and saying, by God's grace, I will not be perfect. By God's grace, I will miss the mark. I will sin. I will fall short. I'll be a bad witness at times, but I'm going to leave it all out on the field for the kingdom of God because their eternity is at stake. And one day, the riches and reward that you receive as heaven could also be at stake by what you do here on this earth. Thank you for taking the time to listen to our podcast today. It is our hope that Jesus would be the center of your life. And if you had not made a decision to yet follow Christ, Romans 10 says that if we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you'd like more information about our church or how you can get connected, please email us at info@calvarydelran.com. Thank you very much.